So we'll say a little prayer and start a catechism lesson. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who didst teach the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Ghost, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be always truly wise and to ever rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. St. Pius X. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This one announcement I forgot to make upstairs at the first Mass is that Tuesday is a holy day of obligation. It's in the bulletin. Mass here will be at 7 in the evening, and at 9 o'clock in Fort Collins. First Friday Mass is listed at 5:30. Oh, I was mistaken in the bulletin about the first Friday Mass. First Friday Mass is at 7:30. I did say that, but it's wrong in the bulletin. We're on page 162, it's chapter 81, and the title of this chapter is The General Judgment, otherwise known as The Last Judgment, right? And we're going to see a chapter on the Last Judgment today. So in the picture at the top, you'll notice Jesus sitting on something that looks like a cloud, and he's got a scepter in his hand, which reminds us he's the king, and on his right side, an angel passing out wreaths to go around your head for the winners. Right? And on his left side, and I mean his left side, not our left side as we look at him, but his left side, another angel holding scales and a flaming sword sending the damned into hell. So the one inviting the just into heaven and the one sending damned into hell. And then two little angels down below are blowing trumpets, and that is, of course, a sign of the resurrection in which they will draw them out of the graves, join back with their bodies, and then be judged right away. So the judgment is the topic. The caption under the picture reads, "The general judgment will take place at the end of the world. It is a public repetition of the particular judgment. Then all that each has thought, said, and done, or omitted, will be known to everybody. The just will receive their reward, and the wicked will be punished. At the general judgment, Jesus Christ will be the judge. Then complete justice will be meted out to all, to the souls united with the bodies." Okay, so the general resurrection is first, souls united with the bodies, and then the judgment will be a complete judgment because of the fact that it is given to all. And anything that was left undone before will be completed then. So there's sometimes things go on in an unjust way in this life. We have our consolation knowing that Jesus will set everything straight in the next world. He's not going to set everything straight in this world until the end, right? But he will do it at the end of the world. So there are the 7th and the 12th articles of the Apostles' Creed. The general judgment. First question, of which there are three questions. First one is, what is the judgment called which will be passed on all men immediately after the general resurrection? Answer, the judgment which will be passed on all men immediately after the general resurrection is called the general judgment. The last or general judgment will take place at the end of the world, but when that will be, no man knows. Some people like to think it's coming very soon, but 1,000 years ago, they were thinking the same thing, so they didn't know it. But we guess, but we don't know for sure. When is the end of the world? But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but the Father only. That's from Matthew chapter 24. After the ascension, angels told the apostles that Christ will come again as judge. There's the quote from the Acts of the Apostles. "This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven." So he will return to the earth as a judge to judge us. Our Lord predicted that signs will precede the last judgment, which he himself described. He will be the judge. The gospel will be preached in the whole world. That's one sign, right? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations, and then will come the end. So it's before the end. The gospel has to be preached in the whole world, which it basically has. B, number two, for a second sign. There will be a great apostasy from faith. People will lose themselves in evil. This is another sign which precedes the end of the world and the last judgment. Right? That's looking like it's happening today. Yeah? We don't know if it's the general apostasy which was spoken of, but a great apostasy is taking place even within the church. Yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find, do you think, faith on the earth? Luke chapter 18. No? Another quote from the Gospel about this loss of faith and apostasy. And as it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and were marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. In the same wise will it be on the day of the Son, that the Son of Man is revealed. Luke chapter 17. So that's the way that people will be carrying on, having fun, doing their thing. And what are they doing? Well, they don't believe the faith anymore. They're not going to Mass. They're not contributing at Mass. They're not keeping their souls in the state of grace. They're just going around doing what seems to be in the ads that they see on TV and hear on the radio. Right? And the billboards. They just follow what the gods of the world tell them. Okay? That's another thing. So the first thing was that the gospel will be universally preached in the world. Second, great apostasy, and the faith will be lost. And the third sign, the Antichrist will appear and work false miracles. St. Paul speaks of the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes all and is exalted above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of God and gives himself out as if he were God. 2 Thessalonians. When the Antichrist comes, it will be clear to everyone that he's the Antichrist. It's not going to be something like, maybe this guy is the Antichrist, maybe that guy is the Antichrist, or I think he might be the Antichrist. No, he'll be sure of it. Right? That's one thing that hasn't seemed to happen yet. Right? The Antichrist, right, has not appeared in the world, right? It will come, and that'll be one thing that happens before the end, right? The end we know is after that. How long after that, we don't know for sure, but after that sign, for sure, right? And after the great apostasy, and after the faith being universally preached, right? The second question, okay, the first one was, what is the judgment called? This is the last judgment or the general judgment. Now the second question, what will take place on the last day? What will be the events of that day? On the last day, these events will take place. And it shows four events. First event, the earth and the heavens will show signs. The stars will fall. The sign of the Son of Man will appear. It is believed that this sign is the cross. Right? So the sign of the cross appearing in the sky. That's what is believed in general, what this sign means. The sign of the Son of Man. Right? But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. So those are that's the first thing, event, is this falling of stars and the sign of the Son of Heaven and the darkening of the moon and so on. Second, Jesus Christ, second sign, in great power and majesty accompanied by the angels, will come in the clouds of heaven. So the judge will be seen arriving to the earth, right? This is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. For as the lightning comes forth from the east and shines even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. Right? That's the second event. Third event, the trumpet will sound, and all the dead will spring to life in a moment. They will be instantly reunited to their souls, and will come to judgment. Right? Behold, I come quickly to render each one according to his works. And he will send forth his angels with a trumpet and a great sound, and they will gather his elect from the four winds. That's from both Apocalypse and St. Matthew. And the last event, from these statements, we are not to conclude that everybody will perceive the divine essence as the day of judgment. This cannot happen without completeness of joy, and the wicked can never see God. So even though they will see the judge, they will not notice the divine essence. The damned will not see the divine essence of God. In other words, they will not have the beatific vision on Judgment Day. Right? The souls, lost souls, will see God behind some kind of veil so that they do not delight in his divinity. they will have some kind of perception of His majesty and recognize His justice. So, right? So they will know that He's being just with them, and they will recognize His majesty in a way, but they will not have the vision of God, which is only for the blessed. Right? So that's two questions down. Third question, if everyone is judged immediately after death, why will there be a general judgment? If you're judged once, why do you have to come back and be judged twice? Right? Answer, although everyone is judged immediately after death, it is fitting that there be a general judgment in order that the justice, wisdom, and mercy of God may be glorified in the presence of all, even those that are not going to be united in heaven with us, those of us who will go to heaven. Right? So those that go to heaven will not be around those that have gone to hell after the judgment day. No? They'll be across the aisle from you, right? If you're on the good side. Right? And that's the last time you'll see them, because they're going to scram into hell. Right? And then after that you won't see them. But they have to see what was done to the just, who were good to God, who obeyed God and who kept the commandments and kept the grace of their baptism alive until they died. And the just will have to see what happens to the damned who did not do those things. And that's very fitting that God's justice and His mercy and His wisdom is shown to everyone in general at one assembly, which is very important. So that's why it's so important to have the last judgment, one of the main reasons. And also, those that just died, you know, they're going to be judged at the same time. A particular and general judgment might happen instantly at the same moment. You don't know. Okay? So, there are some points under this, four points under this question about the last judgment. Why do we have to have two judgments, or particular and general? Right? First point, the last or general judgment will be a public repetition of the particular judgment. The judge and the matters taken up will be identical. Same judge, same matter for judgment. Right? Then Jesus will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Now particular judgment happens very secretly. It's just you and Jesus the judge, your guardian angel, and your guardian devil, right? will be present. Everyone else will not see what's happening. But in the last judgment, everyone will see it. So the hidden things of darkness, that is, in other words, what happened in secret, will be shown to everyone. And I saw the dead and the great and small standing before the throne, and the scrolls were opened, and another scroll was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the scrolls. The scrolls represent our deeds in this world. Right? Second point about the last judgment. All men and all angels, good and bad, will be present to hear the judgment of each one. For there is nothing hidden that will not be made manifest, nor anything concealed that will not be made known. Then will the unjust say these words as they consider the just. This is one of the verses from Wisdom in which they put it in the masses for martyrs. Right? Here it goes. These are they whom we had some time in derision, and for a parable of reproach. We fools esteemed their life madness, and their end without honor. Behold, how they are numbered among the children of God, and their lot is among the saints. What hath pride profited us, or what advantage hath the boasting of riches brought us? All those things are passed away. Yeah. So they now realize that the vanity of worldly pursuits, which they esteemed greater than the pursuit of heaven. Right? Third point, our Lord will place the good on His right hand and the wicked on His left. To the just, Christ will say, come, blessed of my Father, and take possession of the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And to the wicked He will say, depart from me, accursed ones, unto everlasting fire. So He will send them into hell. Now, it's interesting, in Latin, the right is called dextra, and we get our English word dexterous from that, which means your hand is coordinated and is talented. You know? The left hand is called the sinistra, manus sinistra, right? Sinister is our word for evil, right? And it coordinates with the sides that Jesus places us on, or the angels will place us on at the last judgment, right? Point number four under the last judgment. The general judgment is necessary in order for these two things. First one, in order to vindicate God's providence in the government of the world, and to disclose both the good and the evil that men have done, in order to reveal God's justice, wisdom, and mercy. Man is a social as well as an individual being, hence the necessity for a general as well as a particular judgment. So we have to, both of them are necessary because we're individuals, yes, but we're also a part of a society, and so the society then has to be a part of this judgment too. Right? On that day, will men see how often God has granted them graces, and they have rejected them? How often God has turned their evil acts into their advantage, and that they might repent? Then will men see how much that took up time. Then will men see how much that took up time and thought on earth was folly in the eyes of God, and how what the world called nonsense and mocked was really heavenly wisdom. As St. Paul says, we for our part preach Christ, a Christ crucified, to the Jews indeed a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles is called foolishness. Christ crucified. So, Christ crucified is our salvation. We see that in the hymn that we sang at the end of Mass. To Jesus Christ, our sovereign King, who is the world's salvation. He's our King, and His cross and His kingdom bring us to salvation. That's the only salvation that's offered to us, except false salvation. And then B, the last point, that the general judgment is necessary in order to give the just the public honor due to them and the wicked the public shame they deserve, and to make the body share in the reward or punishment of the soul with which it shared good or evil on earth. Right? When we are judged in our particular judgment, it's only our soul present at the judgment. When we are judged at the general judgment, both the body and soul united will be together for the judgment. Right? At the last judgment, all our thoughts and words and deeds, public and secret, will be made known to all creation. This fact should urge us to avoid everything which we should then be ashamed of to be made public. When we are tempted, let us remember that the hidden things of darkness will be revealed on the last day. Okay? So much for the questions in here. Any questions from you about the last judgment? Yes?
The book of life. Our names can be written in it.
The book of life.
But when are they entered?
Whenever we receive... Now, he asked the question. The question that he asked was, when are our names written in the book of life? And the answer is that they are put in when we become adopted children of God. That means most of the time on the day when we're baptized. And in rare cases, those who are, for whom it's impossible to receive baptism before they die, because death comes before, those who desire baptism and had they the opportunity would receive it too. So the baptism of desire. And then in those days, if they're... death prevents them from being baptized on that day of their death, their names are written in, so that they are members of the mystical body and that they are adopted children of God. Whereas not everybody born into the world, when you're born into this world, you're not an adopted child of God. That's why we need this adoption ceremony of baptism. It's an adoption process. God is adopting you, right? Into His family, right? All right, so any other questions about the Last Judgment? Yes, Beck. Okay, yeah, that's a good question. I don't remember exactly, but it's in the Apocalypse of St. John. About the second coming, that maybe it's not in the Apocalypse. I can't remember where it's from, but it's the rapture. They call the Protestants have a fascination with this thing they call the rapture, and it's at the second coming. They believe that they will be raised up into the sky and go with Jesus. Right now, there's something to that, and that is, of course, at the end of the last judgment, Jesus will lead us into heaven. Right, those that are going to heaven. Right. The Protestants believe in this rapture. I don't know too much about what they teach on the rapture. I just assume that they are teaching that because they have believed, you know, like I was listening, in fact, this morning, because it's the daylight savings time has changed now back to standard time, I was driving to the church, and I don't usually turn my radio on when I'm driving, but in order to set the clock on the radio, you have to turn the power on. Right? So I turned the power on, and it was on an AM station, a talk radio station, and it was the Lutheran hour. Right? I was setting the clock. This preacher was preaching about being saved by faith and that not by the works of the law. They keep harping on that fact that you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments and you don't have to be a good boy. You just have to believe. Right? That's the ancient heresy of Lutheranism. But anyway, they believe that they will, that because they believe, they will be raised up in the sky. Now, the devils believe and tremble, according to St. James. For a while, Luther threw that out of the Bible. He threw out the whole book of St. James, and he called it the Epistle of Straw. Later on, the Lutherans, after he was dead, they brought back the book of James and put it back in their Bible. So it's there in the Protestant Bibles, so they get the book of St. James. But the Lutheran doctrine has not changed, that we are saved by our faith without the works of the law, which Luther means keeping the Ten Commandments. Right? So we can't say that we have to be saved by both the faith and the keeping of the Ten Commandments. Right? If we break the Ten Commandments in any serious way, what happens? The grace of our baptism is taken away. We lose it. And if we lose the grace of our baptism, we're disinherited by God. We're no longer a friend of God. Right? We have deliberately chosen to offend him in some serious way. In doing so, we disinherit ourselves from his kingdom. Okay? And that's and Martin Luther, who had very difficulty struggling against his temptations, often fell into serious sin, and he wanted to explain that away, saying, I'll still be saved, even if I continue to sin. You know? And so, therefore, he began to deny the need to keep the Ten Commandments to go to heaven. So the rapture, basically, just by believing, you're going to go up to heaven. And they just take that out of one thing. Now, the last judgment is also scriptural. So the rapture is basically, I think it's Thessalonians now that I think of it. Because it's in one of the masses for the dead. Is that right? Somebody remember that? Yeah. One will be taken and one will be left behind. And we'll meet Christ in the air. That's where they get it from. I think it's the book of St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, right, if I remember correctly. Then that is a doctrine, but it's scriptural, but it's not like the only thing that's going to happen on the last day. You know, there will be the judgment first. And then, according to Catholic theologians, the damned are sent to hell first. And their judgment is seen right away. They're going to hell, and the rest of them that are not going, watch them go. You know, that was one of the they're watching them go to hell. It was one time Bishop Sheen was visiting a hospital. It's a little quick story. I'll try to quickly finish it to give you the answer to that. He was visiting a hospital to give the last sacraments to somebody in the hospital, and when he arrived, the person he was supposed to see was being worked on by the doctors, and he had to wait for them to be done with him. And so while he was waiting, he met another person in the room next door, and he introduced himself, and they spoke a little bit. And then he said, so what's going on? Are you terminal? He says, yes, I'm terminal. He says, have you made your peace with God? And he says, no. And he says, well, I'd like to help you do that. And he says, you can make your confession. And he says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make my peace with God. I'm not going to go to confession. And he says, wow. He says, do you know that if you don't have the grace of God in your soul, you'll go to hell? And the guy says, yeah, I want to go to hell. And Bishop Sheen's shocked look on his face, he says, oh, you know something? I have never, ever in my whole life met somebody who wants to go to hell. And then he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit down in this chair right here. I'm going to watch you go. And the guy began to think about it, and he made his confession. But but if we do, if we, yeah, in the last judgment, there will be sort of a, I guess, a kind of a rapture. But there was a song written about it too. When the saints come marching in, you know the song. When the saints come marching in, they mean into heaven, right? Okay, the saints will march into heaven. But that's the last part, and that's kind of what they call the rapture, right? But it's after the judgment and the damned go to hell. Even if they believed, right? They, if they don't have the grace of God in their souls, that's not enough just to believe. Right? Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not more ready to answer that question. I gave you the best I could. Now, anyone else?
Do you think we're in the last days, Father?
Okay, the question is, do you think we're in the last days, Father? Answer, I think Sister Lucy does, and I respect her opinion. As for myself, you know, I can't say for sure, but if she's right, I wouldn't be surprised. Right? I wouldn't be surprised. The thing that Jesus said is that I come like a thief. Unannounced. It's like a surprise when it happens. And so, if people don't expect the end, that's when it's likely to happen. Right? So, it may not be the end, because a lot of people do expect it now. Right? And on the other hand, it may be the end, because a lot of people don't expect it too. So, the main thing is that we have to be ready all the time for the end. If we're ready every day, ready to be judged, ready to go before the judge and give an account of our deeds and of our soul and the grace that God gave us, then that's the best way to be prepared. That's the Boy Scout model, be prepared, right? Right. Okay. Okay, we'll have to get going. It's time. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the blessing of Almighty God. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et magnat semper. Amen.